since the beginning of the pandemic, many communities have come together to support people in tough times. Many have done that by creating mutual aid groups. These are community-based groups that directly provide resources, could include money or food, and other kinds of support to people in need. Mutual aid groups have been around for years, but gained a lot of traction in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic reached the U.S. These groups differ in a lot of ways from charity organizations and how they're organized and how they're run. Our next guest joins us to talk about the history and effectiveness of these groups in times of crisis. We'll also talk to the founders of two Wisconsin-based groups. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about mutual aid? If you've been involved with one of these groups, what has your experience been like? And even if you haven't been doing it formally, have you and the people in your community, your neighborhood, done things to help check in on each other through all of this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Lori Marks is Executive Director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Community-Based Learning, Leadership, and Research. Lori, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited that you're talking about this topic.
Well, Lori, I gave a very limited definition of what mutual aid groups are. Can you flesh that out for us? What are they? What do they do?
Sure. So mutual aid groups are generally grassroots groups that form sometimes in times of crisis, where people they engage in exchange sort of for mutual benefit, and people kind of lean into the particular skills or resources they have, and at the same time they may receive aid from the organization from along the lines of something that they don't have. So it's really based in this idea that it's a reciprocal relationship. It's very grassroots in nature, and they can really be geographic based, oftentimes very local around a neighborhood, but they can also be identity based. So some marginalized communities over the years have created groups that carry out some of these things.
Now, this is the basic concept I could see happening, I guess, anytime, any place in human history. What's the origin of this modern concept of the mutual aid group?
Well, if you just think about sort of the history of the country, you can imagine early on there was not much infrastructure. And so communities really had to come together to meet their very, very basic needs. Right. So I think of things like even barn raising or firefighting. The example that I like to imagine is the idea of illuminating streets, where at one time communities came together and on alternate days, like every seventh person would put a lantern near the road. And it was just a time where there wasn't infrastructure. So they've always been around, and different situations called for different types of groups. I will mention one thing to think about is we oftentimes think about survival in terms of survival of the fittest, right? But mutual aid groups really look at it, and if you think about it historically, it leans into this alternative perspective where survival can really be based in cooperation amongst community members.
Yeah, I've seen the suggestion that, okay, one way to prepare for a disaster is to, you know, have food and supplies for yourself. Another way might be to make sure you are able to help others. You know, the people in your neighborhood, you're able to lend each other support in different ways. That's kind of that second part there. That's the mutual aid philosophy, if I have that right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about how early on in the COVID pandemic, there was sort of this, you know, run on things like toilet paper. And I'd like to think I didn't have a stockpile of toilet paper at the time, but I'm pretty confident that the people around me would have helped if I would have needed it.
Talk to Lori Marks from UW-Milwaukee Center for Community-Based Learning, Leadership, and Research. We're talking about mutual aid groups. They've gotten big in this last year during the pandemic year. They've been around a lot longer than that. You could join in if you have experience with this or questions at 800-642-1234. let's meet someone now involved in one of these mutual aid groups. Paulo Delgado is founder of Dane County Neighbors Helping Neighbors. The group's Facebook page has about 13,000 members. Paulo, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what inspired you to help start Dane County Neighbors Helping Neighbors?
A lot of the issues that we've been dealing with in the past few days, the division and what have you, are I think that COVID exposed a lot of gaping weaknesses in our society. And I think a big part of the response and what I'm trying to do is making people feel closer to their communities. And a big part of that is giving people a platform to help people around them, which allows them to feel closer to their community.
On a practical level, Paulo, what kind of things have members of Neighbors Helping Neighbors been doing with and for one another?
All types of things. I've seen people give each other jump starts late at night. People will post that they need a jump and where they are. And, you know, usually people will respond. I think that's a big part of the reason Facebook is a good tool for something like this.
And what was the response when you started floating this idea? Did people embrace it pretty quickly?
I didn't actually float the idea. I just set the group up and it took off pretty much instantly. I think we had 6,500 members by the end, by day five.
And, you know, eventually the pandemic will wind down, hopefully sooner than later. Do you have hopes to keep this going even when we're, you know, not being hit by COVID-19?
I think it's up to the community. People will be able to decide if the infrastructure that we built will remain central to the community going forward. But it's up to people if they want to stay engaged, and I hope they do.
Paulo, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Lori, we just heard from one group here in Wisconsin, and that one kind of a unique thing that wasn't around for mutual aid groups in decades too long ago was the ability to connect with each other on social media. How has that affected mutual aid groups?
I think social media has been a really important tool, and it has brought, in some ways, mutual aid groups to the mainstream. They historically have been thought of as sort of this radical idea. But what social media has done is it's brought people into relationship with one another. And like the guest offered, you know, people, it's a platform where they're empowered and they can show solidarity. So you have all these people who are actually participating in these things, maybe without even realizing it. I think of things like the Buy Nothing groups that exist in neighborhoods on Facebook. In the community I live in, there's been an effort to collect food in our neighborhood for a Food is Free pantry in another neighborhood. And so I think social media has turned out to be a really powerful tool for these groups.
That was, we heard, by the way, from Paulo Delgado from Dane County Neighbors Helping Neighbors. Didn't say his name on the way out of that interview there. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Winona, Minnesota. Tim, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about, Tim?
Similar thing to what was going on in Dane County. There was a Facebook page started in Winona, called Neighbors Helping Neighbors, and same kind of thing. It just kind of springed forward a lot of bright things that were happening during such a dark time, especially the holidays. There was organizations and community members and restaurants and stuff providing free meals for people who didn't have, you know, places to go, families to see, that kind of thing. where I work at a restaurant, we were able to provide, I believe it was like 125 meals for people at Christmas. So it was pretty awesome. And then there's been other organizations and Facebook groups that have sprung out of this. There was a Hungry and Hurting group that came forward, and now just people are donating money, and this lady's running it and delivers food from different restaurants to local people. And it's kind of a two-prong approach. It's helping people in need, but it's also helping these small businesses, you know, still make money because it's all donations. So it's a pretty awesome thing. And like I said, it's just a positive thing impacting during such a dark time right now.
Tim, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. And Lori, talk about that. We haven't focused maybe enough on the positive things like that, these spontaneous things popping up communities in, as Tim said, this dark time.
Absolutely. I think the silver lining, if there is one, is that people, A, will see some of the needs that exist in their community that they actually have the power to be a part of. So I think that's one piece that, we can hope happens. I think also just being in relationship with others. People will have relationships through mutual aid groups that they may not have had, had the group not brought them together. And that also will be a positive outcome for those individuals, but also for the community at large.
Tim, thanks for calling in. We're talking to Lori Marks right now, Executive Director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Community-Based Learning, Leadership, and Research. She's with us to talk about the rise in mutual aid groups during the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have participated in one of these groups, what's your experience been like? What do you want people to know about these groups? Do you have questions about mutual aid? And have you done something, even if you're not calling it that, have you been involved in something in your neighborhood, your community, to help each other out, informally maybe? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation and meet another Wisconsin Mutual Aid Group organizer. That's coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about COVID-19 and the rise of mutual aid groups in Wisconsin and around the country. Lori Marks stays with us, Executive Director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Community-Based Learning, Leadership, and Research. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you've been involved in one of these mutual aid groups, formally or informally, ways for your neighborhood, your community to help one another out during a tough time. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's talk to the founder of another Wisconsin-based mutual aid group. Ahmad Rivera-Wagner is the founder of the Green Bay Mutual Aid Group. Ahmad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me.
Well, tell us about the origins of the Green Bay Mutual Aid Group.
Well, one of the things that we saw here early on in 2020, which feels like a century ago, was that my partner was a frontline healthcare worker. He's the son of dairy farmers. And one of the things he saw coming into the ER was a bunch of workers from the meat packing plants in our community. And so we were having a conversation over dinner saying, well, what are we going to do? This at the time was something that was being contested on whether or not COVID was going to spread, if there was any issues at that time in 2020. We didn't see that many cases in Northeast Wisconsin, but we started hearing about all these families that were being impacted. And so, I'm Black and Puerto Rican, and my mother is immunocompromised. I said, well, someone should help create some space for people who may not be used to getting services or support to ensure that those families get the access they need to something as simple as food and access, because they might be losing their jobs. 2 weeks later, we had a major outbreak at the meatpacking plants in Green Bay, and Green Bay was ground zero for what then became a larger hotspot for the rest of 2020, which is now just going down. And so we wanted to make sure that those families and any families that were being impacted really came together. One of the things that's really beautiful about Green Bay is that so many friends and neighbors are willing to work together to solve problems. I feel like that's a very natural element. And so I just felt like this is something I could put together and that so many people started participating and helping and working together to really, one, find the resources that were needed for these families and other families as they started being impacted by COVID, but ultimately becoming a place to communicate and convene, at least online, while we were all kind of dealing with the pandemic.
And Ahmad, what kind of problems did you solve along the way? You had your initial vision for it. What kind of things have you encountered since then that you and the members of the mutual aid group have helped overcome?
Well, you know, we kept it relatively simple. Once I started this group, I reached out to other mutual aid groups, not only in Wisconsin, but there started being national convening groups. And, you know, so many folks were trying all kinds of really impressive things, from fundraising and checking accounts to coordinating rides. We try to get those things started. And, you know, I felt some discomfort around asking people for information or handling money. We wanted folks to be able to not worry about any issues or credibility. And so what we really focused on is making sure people got access to the resources they need. So the first thing we tackled was, what were families doing that were impacted, that couldn't go to the grocery store, right? These were folks who had received a COVID positive diagnosis, and that they couldn't necessarily go to the grocery store, and they might have lost their jobs or been removed from the working for several weeks. And so we worked on making sure that they got access to food pantries, that there were folks who'd be willing to deliver food to individuals, that we would, there were some other projects that started popping up in the city that were putting together boxes and packages for families to be able to deliver them to people's homes on their doorstep. And we started trying to find people who both would be open to deliver, but also supporting people with different types of food, particularly culturally relevant foods for all the broad diversity, more diversity than most people think about Green Bay. But we have a huge AAPI population, a relatively large Black population, a huge Latino population here. And so we wanted to make sure that doing that was really, really important. And given that there are folks who often have mixed immigration statuses, we didn't want folks to feel encumbered by their status, not to be able to ask, get, or receive the support. And so that was one of the other elements that we wanted to make sure we were able to get things to, because at times even government resources required Social Security numbers or government or citizenship status. And we just want to make sure that families got what they deserved and needed during a really tough time.
And as we wrap up, Ahmad, are you hoping that the Green Bay Mutual Aid Group will have a role even in a post-COVID era?
You know, I think there's something incredible when communities come together to solve really complex and tough problems. And I think that's something, given what we've seen over the last year and as we are entering the new year, that too often divisive rhetoric has caused kinds of issues, not only in local communities, but national communities, that this mutual aid moment and space really was something that, regardless of where you came from or what language you spoke or what side of the aisle you were on, that people deserve to get supported and help, was such a beautiful, beautiful thing that I was really proud to be a part of. And I would hope that in the post-pandemic world that we hope to see the end of soon, that we can really keep that kind of dynamic going and moving forward. So if there's a, you know, part two or stage two of the mutual aid group in Green Bay, that would be fantastic. My dream and hope is that we'd be able to do more things in person post-pandemic and really think about the needs this community has to offer. But I will say that I also am okay with it ending. There are some really incredible nonprofits and government agencies in the area who really, really stepped up during this pandemic. And this was kind of a temporary patch with the network of services during a very unclear and undetermined time. And, you know, I would also be happy and glad to see this community supporting and uplifting the community, the organizations are already doing such great work and helping them to amplify their impact. And so I was just happy to play a small part, a very tiny part, into what so many great people are doing, and just happy that people like my husband and other people who are experiencing on the firsthand had some party to turn to or reference folks to. And I think the network of organizations coming together now, there might not even be a need for the Green Bay mutual aid group anymore. Right. And I think that
Ahmad, I want to bring Lori Marks back in. Thank you so much for joining us today. Ahmad Rivera there from the Green Bay Mutual Aid Group. Lori, your thoughts on what we just heard from Ahmad?
Well, it's a great example of how communities have come together to meet needs. And it also goes to show how When people do that outside of general, you know, organizational structures or government structures, they can do it quickly and efficiently, and they can meet direct needs. So I think that's a really came through in what he talked about. And then the last thing I'll just say, too, is that these groups are political in nature because they oftentimes reveal where our safety net isn't working. And so I hope people will recognize that and stay involved in whatever ways that they are comfortable being involved in the process. Right now, people are turned off by politics, I think, and this is a great way to be involved in a way that you're kind of what I like to think of as like a doer versus a debater.
Lori, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lori Marks is Executive Director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Community-Based Learning, Leadership, and Research. She joined us today to talk about the growth of mutual aid groups during the COVID-19 pandemic. We also heard from Paulo Delgado, founder of Dane County Neighbors Helping Neighbors, and Ahmad Rivera, founder of the Green Bay Mutual Aid Group.